Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your co-host. And of course, welcome back, Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. How are you?
I'm really well, Rhea. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm alive and kicking. It's a start.
Surviving. It's Monday.
Yeah, and I've caught the dreaded vitamin C, so we'll see how. Just got to keep on going, I guess.
I hope you recover from that quickly.
Thank you. I'm old, so it takes us all a little bit longer when you get old.
I know the feeling. Too well.
Right. Today, we wanted to talk about cryptocurrency. Now, my experience about, I would say, 10, 12 years ago, I remember my ex-partner talking about Bitcoin and how it was possible to set up, he was a computer programmer, so how it was possible to set up a bunch of computers to do this mining stuff, to find this Bitcoin somewhere in the internet, and how, you know, it was sort of the future of currencies. Now, fast forward even to 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and as recently as about a year ago, more and more people, as time went on, were talking about cryptocurrency and what a great investment opportunity it was. Now, initially, cryptocurrency, and Bitcoin was the first, but initially, cryptocurrency was thought of as the way to hide your money from governments, to hide your money from the big bank, to sort of go outside of the system because it was highly unregulated. That doesn't happen anymore. It is very regulated now, and it doesn't matter where your cryptocurrency is being exchanged. If you're actively using your money, they're going to find it. Correct?
There's been a lot around this in the last week or so, and Biden's actually come out in the US and said he wants to see stronger regulation around cryptocurrency in particular. So it's still, I think, not completely regulated. But I think where it comes into transactions and where people are getting paid for it, yes, there's still the same due diligence needs. And particularly for large purchases, we've seen, you know, charter brokers saying they accept crypto now. You know, if you're going to be accepting any currency or for payment of that's the service, you want to know that you can use that money where it came from is legitimate. So I think wherever it's used for property purchases or charters or yacht purchases, there is going to be a provider in the background working with that broker to put an audit trail in place to demonstrate where that money's come from before they accept it.
Well, we have a brand new breed of crew coming up, and they are actually taking their future a lot more seriously, I think, than my generation or even the generation after did. They're looking at investment opportunities. They're looking at ways to maximize their earnings. Is cryptocurrency, in your opinion, something that into the future will continue to grow and possibly give greater dividends than anything else on the market?
I think it will certainly grow. I don't see it going away. It's another currency. I think the technology behind it and the way the sort of the key to be able to unlock value in something that sits within crypto is really an important way of transferring value between people. I think in terms of investment, I wouldn't put my 100% of my, like any investment, I wouldn't put 100% of whatever I've got to invest in one asset class. Generally, diversification is the way to go. And I think you've got to look very careful what the crypto is. We've seen, we were talking just before the show, Rhea. Last year, it seemed to be every time I met someone, they'd made a five-figure sum out of crypto. And when everybody you meet seems to be making money, you think, what's driving it? Is there really something to it, or is it a bubble, and is it going to come down? And yeah, again, it only takes a comment from someone like Elon Musk to see fairly big corrections in value. And we saw that last year. And I think, you know, there has been some correction in values of cryptocurrency since. So I would be, certainly wouldn't be seeing it as putting all my eggs in that basket. I think you always need to diversify any investment strategy and over the long term, and crypto probably form part of that.
So technically speaking, then, if you invest your money on cryptocurrency and you don't touch that, you don't, you know, you just sort of amass more and more and more, and perhaps you do purchase something with that cryptocurrency, but who you've purchased that from, is it possible to hide that? Is it possible to hide that money if none of it ever actually goes into a bank? If the people that are using it, everybody involved is using cryptocurrency to survive, and each transaction is solely cryptocurrency, is there a way for the government to track that if it never hits a bank?
Yeah, I think they're going to look like any government. If you're unlucky, so you have a tax audit, they will look at what you're earning and what you've got in your names. If you haven't disclosed it, then you'll be subject to penalties on that. So, yeah, there's, in terms of growth in crypto, I think there's two sides. There's obviously if you're being paid in crypto for something you've done, like your salary or services, that's income. And most international countries have tax legislation which defines what income is. And if you're working with someone, you're being paid, whether it's in a cash currency or whether it's in crypto, but there's an employment contract, yeah, that's going to fall into income, and you need to declare that. If you're sitting on an investment and it's going up in value, depending where you are, if there's capital gains tax, that should be declared as part of that, and you should be talking to your tax advisor or accountant around what you need to do with those assets. But yeah, like everything else, when tax authorities, if they see you've got something, or if you're withdrawing that and spending it, then they'll look at, well, what lifestyle are you living? Where did the money come from? And in some countries, certainly I think you'll find in Canada and Australia as examples, they have fairly wide-ranging powers to look at, in effect, say, right, we think you earned this much to live the lifestyle you're living, and they'll assess you on that, and it's up to you to prove that that's not correct.
That's kind of scary, actually, when you think of it. I mean, if you're only earning X and the lifestyle that you are living is as a result of having absolutely amazing friends, which I'd love to have some of those. But, how can they feasibly, attack you for that?
They will look at the way you're living and assess you. It's up to you then to demonstrate that if it was gifts from friends, that was gifts from friends, or but you've got to be able to prove and evidence where that funding is coming from to live the lifestyle. I think that we're living in an age where data is much more important. And I mean, I can go back even 10 or 20 years at that stage. I was working in Australia. The Australian Tax Office could look at a plumber or a crew member or whatever the industry was that someone was working in and say, we know that, a plumber's income looks like this and his expenses look like this. And if they see tax returns which are out of, that don't benchmark or are an exception to what they expect, they'll look at it. I think now there's much better data available. We're seeing in the UK from 2024, they're making tax digitals coming in, so you have to submit your returns electronically and you have to be holding your data in a electronic accounting system. That's going to mean that data is going to be much more readily available to governments.
Well, if somebody is looking at cryptocurrency, with the various amounts of different types of cryptocurrency out there now, how do they know, especially if they're looking at investment opportunity, how do they know which one to pick?
That's a really good question. I'm going to say I'm not an investment advisor, so it's absolutely important if someone is looking at investing, take advice. I think you've got to look at what's like any investment, you need to understand, if it's a company and you're buying shares, you need, and I'm using that example because it's something that's easy to understand, but if you look at Apple, you can see what they're selling. You know there's a demand for iPads and iPhones and what the latest MacBook is, and you can see their earnings, and what you're buying is future earnings based on, the price you're paying is based on what your expected future earnings are going to be. And I think you need to do the same if you're looking at crypto. You need to understand what is backing that cryptocurrency. Again, we saw with the doggy coin crypto currency last year that Elon Musk came out and said, I think this is a bit of a bubble, and it dropped quite quickly in value. But he'd also said he'd invested lots of money in it and people had followed him. Probably following someone who's got a high profile in terms of what they're tweeting isn't a very sensible investment decision.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like, traditional currencies. People invest in currency around the world on a daily basis. And, everyone has, there's the dollar, there's the euro, there's the pound. I imagine that as cryptocurrency gets larger and there's more cryptocurrencies available, that it will end up being, as far as investment goes, the same kind of concept. Which one is doing better? Which, what is their backing, et cetera, et cetera. It's essentially the same thing, just digital.
Yeah, I think that's it. You need to understand what you're buying. And I think the other important piece is understand who you're buying from and making sure what you're buying is actually legitimate and it's, it's liquid, that there is a market where you can resell it again. We've certainly seen stories where people buy a currency that then they find isn't liquid or isn't legitimate. It's really important to do your due diligence on the background before you invest in any asset, and make sure it's tradable. That's again talking to some finance brokers. They're doing cryptocurrency for sort of high value property in places like London and New York, etc. But they will not do that deal unless they can ascertain where that crypto is, and there's specialist firms who will look at that currency and say, yes, we can see where it's come from, it's verified. And if that doesn't come back, or the person offering that crypto isn't prepared to go through that process, the deal won't go ahead. So
I think it really comes down to the fact that it doesn't matter what currency you're using to purchase anything nowadays. The fact is, gone are the cowboy days of being able to hide your income. You got to declare it, no matter whether it's cryptocurrency or whether it's cold, hard cash, the same way we've been doing business for years and years and years. You have to know where it's coming from, and you have to make sure to declare it, because, the fact is, you may think you're being smart hiding whatever it is for the next 10 years or so, but if you get caught, it's going to cost you that plus some. I think.
Yeah, and I think following COVID, we've entered an era where every government is going to be looking at recovering some of the money they've had to put out to support economies through the pandemic. This is, they're going to want their revenue, and they're going to be looking for it. And there's a sort of always been a myth that if you're working at sea, it's tax free. If you're UK, it's, and you're a seafarer, there's a tax exemption, but you have to apply for that exemption. You need to look at your residency, where you actually live, where you're spending time. If you're spending normally 6 months in a country and you've got a home there, you're generally taxable in that country. Whether you're being paid with tax being paid out or taken out at source by your employer is different, and that often doesn't happen in the maritime world, but you still could have a tax liability.
I think the best way to live is with the idea that everyone has their hand in your pocket at some stage.
Yeah, I think you have to accept that there's one certainty or two certainties, isn't there? They say that death and taxes. And you don't want to pay too much, but it's certainly, you can plan legitimately to try and not pay more than you need to, but you also need to follow the laws in whichever country you're choosing to live in. With crypto, I think it's important that you could be being paid for a service and that's income, but you could be holding it as an investment. And if that moves in value, that depending on where you are, that could also be a capital gain. So depending on how you're holding it, and if you're trading it, you know, if you're trading it daily, then it's probably income because you're actually in business of trading crypto. So, but yeah, I think before these shows, I've been looking at most governments now have said, you know, if you're being paid in crypto or if you're holding crypto, we do consider it falls within our capital gains or income tax legislation. So yeah, it's not a way of not paying tax.
Well, you know what? Crypto is not something I'm going to get into anytime soon. I just figured out TikTok the other day. So yeah, that's just kind of a leap for me, which is probably the biggest mistake on the face of the planet, considering speaking to so many other people and how, like you said, even your friends, you know, five figures all of a sudden. But I think there's only so many things that you can do at one time as an individual. But yeah, thank you for your insight. And it's like you say, you know, just pay your taxes. It just, you know, make sure that you've got, and I've had some good accountants in my time. So find yourself a really good accountant and they'll be able to find all the loopholes in your, not loopholes, but legal, you know, I shouldn't say loopholes.
But I think it's the tax legal planning, isn't it? It's really, exactly. You know, looking at your circumstances and planning it and looking at what you can do legally to not pay more than you should, but keep you out of trouble. And likewise with investments, I think you need to look at, you know, all investments, and particularly if you're, you know, younger and you're wanting to save for the future, then it's in, you know, I think long-term investment is always going to be better than looking for short-term gains. And it's a matter of just coming up with talking to an investment advisor and putting that portfolio in place and contributing over that long period. And, you know, history shows that if you do that for 40 years or you're going to have a more certain outcome, that you're going to have a positive return than if you try to do it over a month or, you know, a couple of weeks.
I don't have 40 years left.
No, I've got that issue as well.
But there it is. You know what, Alistair, as always, it's a pleasure and informative for me, hopefully as well for our viewers. But I know that I learn something every week.
Thank you, Rhea. Well, I hope you feel better by the time we talk next week.
Oh, yeah. From your lips to God's ears. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And I have a lot of this. Thank you. I appreciate it. Don't forget every single week right here on Yachting International Radio, Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. Thank you, Alistair.
Thanks, Rhea, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
You've been watching another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your co-host. We'll see you again next week.